Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with retired Marines James Averhart Jr. and Joe Geeter from the Montford Point Marines. Then we'll meet Lawton Wilson from Freedom One Coffee. And of course, we'll conclude with our military history and our self-defense report. It's a pleasure to introduce retired Marine Master Gunnery Sergeant Joe Geeter. Joe obviously served in the Marines, but as a Black American, he knows a lot about the Montford Point Marines, the first Black Marine training unit, at least. At least we're going to learn about that. He's their National Public Relations Officer. And we're honored to have their National President, retired Marine Chief Warrant Officer Dr. James Averhart Jr. with us. So we're loaded with Marines today. Welcome, Joe, or am I supposed to say welcome aboard?
It's welcome aboard if I'm getting on the ship, but welcome is fine. Thank you, Denny.
Okay. And James, thank you for joining us today.
In your words, Denny, hoorah.
We speak the same language, man. Joe, start by telling us about your time in the Marines. When and why did you join? What did you do?
When I was 18 years old, I was on the South Side of Chicago. My best friend, Tony, who was a year older than me, joined the Marine Corps. And when he came home from boot camp, and I saw him in that uniform, and I was kind of anxious to get out of Chicago. I was just like, sign me up. And little did I know, he got five more days of liberty for signing me up in December 1975.
Okay, and what did you do? What was your specialty?
I was a logistician for most of my 25 years in. I did a tour of recruiting duty, and I also served as an equal opportunity advisor before I retired in 2001.
Okay. James, how about you? Tell us your story.
Hey, Dennis, I'm a native of Mobile, Alabama. I went into Marine Corps at 18 years of age as well. And I served 30 years in the Marine Corps, retired from the Pentagon as the Chief Warrant Officer 5. When I initially went in, I was went into the infantry, the MOS. And, Desert Shield, Desert Storm, hoorah. And after, during that time frame, 1992, after Desert Shield, the Marine Corps was downsized, and so I had to find another MOS. So I went to Military Police and Corrections. And I ended up, I didn't like MPs, but I ended up going into corrections and I picked a warrant officer and the rest is history. I was the CEO of the brig, several brigs in the Marine Corps, and I retired as the head of Marine Corps Corrections.
Wow. Okay. Well, you started off as a grunt like I did, so therefore we have that tie. And I'm glad I never met you in corrections because, we won't go there. Okay. As I understand it, the Montford Point Marines was the first African-American unit for training, and it was where the first time they let Blacks into the Marine Corps, and that's where they went to train. I think that's the story, and I understand it started in 1942, and I'm guessing, since our whole military was desegregated under President Truman in about 1948, that's probably when it ended. Joe, did I read that right? Did I understand that correctly?
Yes, you did. African-Americans were allowed to come in the Marine Corps in 1942 because of an executive order that was signed in 1941 by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Executive Order 8802, and Montford Point Camp served as a training facility for these African-American Marines from 1942 through 1949.
Okay, good. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking about the Montford Point Marines. Okay, James, who are the Montford Point Marines? You're the president. When in doubt, ask a chief warrant officer or ask a president. Now I can do a twofer.
Well, you're absolutely right, Dennis. You're just cavalier of what Joe stated, that during 1942, due to Executive Order 8802, the Fair Employment Act, which opened up the military and armed forces to African-Americans. These were the Marine Corps first civilian recruits who went into the United States Marine Corps during that period of time. They trained at a segregated camp. And that camp is adjacent to Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune. It was then called Montford Point Camp. And during that period of time, from 1942 to 1949, approximately 20,000 African-American recruits, men only, trained at that segregated base. And then in 1949, the base was desegregated during that time frame. So these are America's first that came into the Marine Corps. And they came from all walks of life. Some of these men were professional baseball players, doctors, lawyers. Some even served in the Army, and they relinquished their commission to come into the United States Marine Corps.
So that was the beginning of our segregated involvement of allowing Blacks into our military, specifically here into the Marines. And That continued until segregation was eliminated. So I've got that right. That was where all blacks trained as they came into the Marines.
That is correct.
Okay. Joe, tell us about their service in the Pacific during World War II. There are a lot of them out there, I know.
Oh, yeah. Well, as mentioned, their service started almost 80 years ago on August 26, 1942. In March or the spring of 43, the training was turned over to African-American drill instructors who were training them not only for the Marine Corps, but for battle. But they started deploying, the Moffett Pointers started deploying overseas in 1943, like many people going to the Pacific. Their first stop was Hawaii, and they lingered on ships for a while before they got their orders. But the first time the Moffett Point Marines saw combat was in June of 1944 on the island of Saipan. And they performed so great under combat along with their white counterparts that the commandant at the time, Alexander Van Griffith, stated that the Negro Marines are no longer on trial, they're Marines, period. And the Marines of Moffett Point were going to fight on Iwo Jima in 1945 and Okinawa and the island of Peleliu. So they had some great service during the Pacific battle, during the Pacific theater, during World War II.
Yeah, I'm sure that the Moffett Point training was not in any way less intense, because I've never known a Marine that thought things were easy. So I'm pretty sure that was pretty tough. Okay, James, what's the National Moffett Point Marine Association? What is it? I guess it's couldn't be just people who graduated from it as blacks.
Yes, the Moffett Point Marines Association is a nonprofit 501c3 organization whose mission is to perpetuate the legacy of those first African-American Marines who entered the United States Marine Corps. It's interesting that our association started in 1965 by these compromising men of Moffett Point who had not seen each other for well over 20 years, who gathered in Philadelphia and had a meeting. They were just doing a reunion. And they gathered, and there at that meeting, they decided to charter an association. And therefore, our association began at that time. And today, we boast 42 chapters nationwide. And it's interesting to say that with those men, you know, they just wanted to get together for camaraderie and such. But again, our association has morphed, and we've accomplished some great things. But our purpose now, with the growing population of senior citizens, is to help our senior citizens and also to help our youth population as well with programming and things of that nature. We definitely do scholarships to help those kids get into higher education and such.
That makes sense, because there's so much to be proud of there. We've got to maintain that in our culture so that our people know about it so they can be proud of it. And what a good way to do that. Okay, Joe, what's the Congressional Gold Medal Award that the Moffett Point Marines got? Tell us about that.
Well, the Congressional Gold Medal is the highest civilian award that our Congress can award. It's equal to the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is awarded by the President of the United States. But the Congressional Gold Medal is awarded through Congress. Back in 2006, when the Tuskegee Airmen received their Congressional Gold Medal, I was national president at the time, and I got inquiries specifically from a Moffett Point Marine named First Sergeant James Rudy Carter. And he had a simple question. He says, why are they being recognized and not us? So that sent me, Dr. Everhart, and others on a mission to lobby the U.S. Congress for the Congressional Gold Medal. And after 4 years of lobbying, the Congress passed the Congressional Gold Medal resolution 422-0 in the House and by unanimous consent in the Senate. And then President Barack Obama signed into law in November of 2011. And this June 27th will be 10 years since that ceremony at the U.S. Capitol and the Marine Barracks at 8th and I, where 400 original living Moffett Pointers were present to receive the Congressional Gold Medal, the replica medal. So it's a big deal. We're still searching for families to award this medal to, and we invite everybody to go to our website at www.moffettpointmarines.org and reach out to us if you have a family member, African-American man that served during World War II and up to 1949. They're probably a Moffett Point Marine, and there's a Congressional Gold Medal replica waiting for that Moffett Pointer or their family.
That's awesome. And yes, we do have to keep waking Congress up to things that need to be done. So I appreciate the fact that you don't just talk about it, you actually do something about it. Well, there's more to talk about the Moffett Point Marines, and both Joe and James will stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. As a part of our celebration of our 750th show, here's some more never-before-aired audio from the studios of Front Lines of Freedom.
Okay, good. Otherwise, I'm going to have to shoot it.
oh, well, you know.
That'll take time.
One swing of the Ranger hand. And
yeah, that'll work too.
Because our neighbors have chickens. Every once in a while, they get a little loud.
But every time they lay an egg.
Is that criteria?
Oh, well, for the hens, when a hen lays an egg, they cackle for about 2 minutes and then they shut up. But they're just bragging. Well, you can't blame them. I mean, can you shoot an egg out of your butt? I can't do it.
No, and I've tried.
Well, I hope no one ate it.
and I will not give any details.
All right, good.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to run hard for a couple of miles. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. We will be right back. If you are suffering from anxiety, joint muscle aches, or trouble sleeping, try Day 3 Creation, a Christian family-owned provider of American-made, non-intoxicating, non-addictive CBD products created from natural, organic, laboratory-tested ingredients. Day 3 comes from a servant's heart as God calls us to care for each other with compassion and honesty. 10% of all profits go to Patriot Paws, providing disabled vets with service dogs. Visit day3creation.com to learn more.
This is Lieutenant Colonel Retired John Barry, managing partner of Barry Law. For over 50 years, Barry Law has defended the rights of Americans, both on the battlefield and in the courtroom. We are committed to supporting our fellow service members. If you need help appealing your VA disability decision, find us at PTSDlawyers.com or call 888-883-2483.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. James Everhart and Joe Geeter about the Montford Point Marines. Okay, James, talk to us about the ship, the USNS Montford Point. I hadn't heard about that before.
Well, Dennis, the story of the Montford Point Marines is a story of resilience and perseverance. You know, back in 2013, we had the opportunity out there, the hard push. Joe's been real modest. Now, he's the individual who, after he received the charge, pushed the Congressional Gold Medal, and I just so happen to be the 17th National President. So I served previously as the National President for 6 years, and some great things happened during that watch as we roll into the USNS MLP-1 Montford Point. You know, the people were excited about the Montford Point Marines. They hear their story, and Secretary Mavis, Ray Mavis, wanted to, you know, name a ship after the Montford Point Marines. And that's what we did. Actually, that ceremony took place on 2 March of 2013, where we had the christening where the Honorable Jackie Bolden, the wife of the 14th Administrator of NASA, was the maid of honor. So with that, this ship has been sailing the seas for in home port in Sasebo, Japan. And, you know, the military has some plans for the ship, and we're actually in conversation now. What's the future plans of the? Are they going to decommission, or are they going to keep the USNS Montford Point in the arsenal?
Wow, you know, old dogs, new tricks. I keep learning stuff too. I'm glad we're doing this, James. While you're at it, talk about the Montford Point Memorial at Jacksonville, North Carolina.
Well, again, Dennis, it keeps moving. You know that we were riding the waves on the shoulders of these giants, the Montford Point Marines. And the association, since its inception, had decided that we wanted to honor these men with a monument. However, during my administration, you know, and Joe again was a great mentor in that, what we decided to do was I wanted to paint a picture of having a monument that was receptive or more so representative of the 20,000 Black men who trained at those hollow grounds of Montford Point. So we came up with this great schematics, and, you know, we worked with some great engineers out there, artists. And we came up with a design that was reflective of the 20,000 who trained at the camp. And we did a groundbreaking in the summer of 2014. What's interesting with this concept, Dennis, is that we finished this $1.8 million monument 8 years ahead of schedule, which I think that was significant. It was through fundraising. And when people caught on, the City Tourism Bureau of Jacksonville, North Carolina, they helped us out. And we just had fundraising from all over the country.
That's awesome.
Right. Right there in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Now I call it the crown jewel of the Eastern Seaboard. And that it is.
Well said. Joe, you look like you agree with that statement.
Oh, wholeheartedly. The beautiful thing about that Miami is beautiful in all aspects, but it sits right outside the gate of what was Moffett Point Camp, what is now Camp Johnson in Jacksonville. And anybody that drives by the highway in front of that base can see that monument. And it's become, as the president says, the crown jewel of the Eastern Seaboard. The city of Jacksonville really pumps that up in their tourism memorabilia and their ads and their segments. It's the go-to monument in Jacksonville. Yes.
Hey, I'm going to have to make sure that I see it. First, I got to get to Jacksonville. Tell us about the National Museum, Joe.
Well, I'll start off, and I know the president has some input too, but the National Museum has been aboard what is now Camp Johnson. Moffett Point Camp was renamed Camp Johnson in 1974 after Gilbert Hashmark Johnson, one of the first Black Marines, one of the first Black drill instructors, and one of the first Blacks to retire with 30 years of total service. The museum was opened originally in September 2001, and it was a reading room where we just had artifacts in there, but it has grown in scope and purpose so much over the last 21 years. But in 2018, Hurricane Florence came rumbling through Jacksonville and pretty much destroyed a lot of facilities aboard Camp Lejeune and Camp Johnson. So we had to evacuate all of our artifacts out of that museum. And just this past weekend, we held a grand reopening where that museum was totally revamped, state-of-the-art air and cooling system, lights. The artifacts, for the most part, were preserved. It's a more open museum. And we had a couple of hundred folks, including dignitaries from Jacksonville and the Marine Corps, down in Jacksonville this past weekend to celebrate the grand reopening of that museum. And it's really, along with the monument, a really go-to place in Jacksonville if you're visiting Jacksonville, North Carolina.
I think that what was unique in regards to that, you know, just with this grand reopening, we had the opportunity, number one, to find more Moffett Pointers, and then also to establish a large quantity of archival and artifacts from Moffett Point Marines and all their families. And that's a beautiful sight there now. And it was just great being in Camp Lejeune this past weekend on the base there to do the grand reopening. And what was unique about that, we also planted a time capsule. We did a time capsule, and that time capsule will be over 20 years from now. And again, from my seat as the national president, I did a letter, a dossier, if you will, to the president, the future of our association, the president and the association. I hope that I'm around when they take that but, I did a letter to show our current state, where we are at 2022, the current state of the association. I put that in a time capsule along with some other artifacts, and I hope that I'm able, to be around to see that open up 20 years from now.
Amen.
That's awesome. That's what we have to do. We have to preserve our history. We have to preserve the reality of what life was like. And we have to honor those heroes who stepped up and did things that other people didn't do. I'm delighted to know that you guys are doing that. Now, you're doing a search, I think, James, for living Moffett Point Marines and their families. Am I right?
That's correct, Dennis. What we're doing, and again, this is my second time around, and that as the national president, well, we did a call led by Joe last year. We did a public service announcement looking for Moffett Point Marines. Moffett Point Marine is an individual who went into the United States Marine Corps during World War II that served at the camp from August 26th to October 18th, 1949. If relatives know of their father or grandfather, we ask them to contact our association at www.moffettpointmarines.org. And let our association know our contact information is there. 20,000 African-American men trained at that camp. And we think that it's approximately about 400 that's still alive. But Dennis, there could be more. And we hope there are. And we're still finding every time something hit the news, whether living or deceased, we would like to present that Congressional Gold Medal to that Moffett Point Marine if he's still alive, or the next of kin in honor of that Moffett Point Marine for his service to his nation.
Awesome. We're about out of time, but Joe, tell us about the movie project about the Moffett Point Marines.
And we've been working along with the national president and a few other members, have been working with a filmmaker over the past 7 or 8 years on a movie whose working title is now called Black Boots the Movie. They have a webpage, blackbootsthemovie.com, and you can get some insight on what we're doing there. We're at the point now where we have a script, we've built composite characters. We're in a fundraising mode now. So if you go to that webpage, it can tell you more about that movie. And we're kind of anxious for this movie to come to the big screen because we've already had two documentary films, one in 1997, the other one in 2006, that was voiced over by Lou Gossett called Fighting for Freedom. That documentary is available free on YouTube now. So we're hoping this Black Boots project really picks up steam with all the other exposure that we're getting. And we hope to have that really in production very soon.
Awesome. Folks, if you missed it, the website is montfordpointmarines.org. Joe, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation. I'm proud to call you a friend.
Hey, Danny, thank you for having us. We really appreciate the opportunity to tell America about these African-American heroes and these pioneers of the Marine Corps.
And thank you, James, for your service in uniform, and thank you for the leadership you're providing now. I'm proud to have an opportunity to meet you.
Simple thought to you, my friend. You know, as I always state, that this is not just Black history or Marine Corps history. This is American history, and the world needs to know about the Montford Point Marines.
Very well said, sir. I could not agree more. Troops, here are some more bloopers from the past year on Front Lines of Freedom. Are you noticing that a lot of these involve Skip Coriel? I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not.
Here we go on segment one. Okay, the colonel, he says, oh, and Marine vet Skip Coriel is looking smart and sassy. He is a gorgeous hunk of Marine Corps manlyhood, and I feel so inept and just so inferior sitting before him, or something like that. But you probably shouldn't put that on the show.
See?
Oh,
I remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We'd have given Michael a really fun time, though.
You know, we had some really good bloopers that he could have used, except no one will ever know.
No one will ever know, except you and I.
Yeah, that's it. You, me, and God.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Segment eight. I wonder if we'll be doing the same kind of thing in heaven.
Well, and how many watts will we be broadcasting?
Coming up next on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll talk with Lawton Wilson about Freedom One Coffee. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Do 26 with each arm twice. They'll take a break but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care.
We are leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted.
Our key to success?
You. We bring your voice to leaders calling the shots so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity.
Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
My fellow patriots, in these troubling times, it is more important than ever for us to take care of our fellow Americans. That's what Patriot Food stands for, U.S.-only grown foods. When you make an online purchase, you are supporting a U.S. farmer and our great veterans every time. Don't mistake Patriot Foods for survival food. This is an American farmer brand. Visit patriotfoods.com and click Shop Now today. That's patriotfoods.com and click Shop Now today. Welcome back to Front Lines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show Army Officer Lawton Wilson. He's on active duty, and he also owns a coffee company, which is really cool. And not only that, he does things that helps veterans. This guy's a real soldier. So welcome to the show, Lawton. Good to have you.
Thank you so much, Colonel, for having me on your show.
Lawton, start by telling us your story, your time in the military. When and why did you join? Where have you served? What you doing?
Yes. So I commissioned as a second lieutenant in 2018 from the University of South Florida's ROTC program. I got married 2 weeks later and then sent to Korea, where I served 1 year in Korea. And now I am currently serving at Fort Carson, Colorado.
Okay. What are you doing at Fort Carson?
I am a logistics officer, and I'm currently serving in the role of an executive officer for my company. It's about 110 soldiers.
Wow, that's a good job. I had that job at Carson when I was there 50 or so years ago. Probably things are a little bit different.
Yes.
So you, as I understand it, you and your dad were coffee lovers and had a vision for starting a coffee company, and the two of you did start it. Do I remember that right?
That is correct. Yes. It all started back actually when I was in college as just a dream of pursuing a better cup of coffee. So in my college dorm room at the University of South Florida, I was grinding, roasting, brewing, and even selling cups of coffee from my dorm room. And I realized that coffee has the superpower of bringing people together, not only with my residents, but also my relationship with my father. It brought us closer together. So when I commissioned as an officer, my father and I started Freedom One Coffee in 2018. And he was very creative. He designed all of our coffee bags, all the original ones, and our website, all before he passed away in 2019. And he was a Marine veteran, and he brought his military experience into our business in the design of all of our bags and website.
Wow. Your dad was a Marine. One of my closest friends who was a Marine is wild about your coffee. So I guess the Marines really like it, and so do other people too. But talk to us about what sets you apart from other coffee companies. I mean, you're obviously running by an Army officer, and you tell me, don't make me guess.
Yes. So there are really three things that set us apart from every other coffee company. The first being, of course, that I am active duty. I run the business with my wife, and we also employ veterans to be part-timers to come alongside us and pack coffee when things get really busy. Another thing is that you probably have never seen from another coffee company is that we have handwritten thank you cards that are addressed personally to every customer that buys something from our website, freedomonecoffee.com. So that's something I'm very proud of that we'll never stop doing. And the last thing that I'm very proud of also is that we roast and ship our coffee. Many times your listeners will go to the grocery store and buy coffee, but they don't know that that coffee has been sitting on the shelf for weeks, if not months. But we roast our coffee fresh, grind it to order, and we never pre-pack coffee that's shipped from our website.
So what do you offer?
Yes, we have 9 different bags of coffee on our website at freedomonecoffee.com. We also have what we call Freedom Pods, but your listeners will probably know them as K-Cups. We have 2 different varieties of those. For gear, we have t-shirts, mugs, and decals. And this is going to air on around Mother's Day, and we have a special coffee. It's a Cabernet barrel-aged coffee that's really popular around this time of year in May. And I would love to give your listeners 15% off their first order with the promo code FREEDOM that they can use at freedomonecoffee.com when they check out.
Hey, what could be better than Frontlines of Freedom and Freedom One Coffee? We're obviously brothers.
That's right. Yeah, I like the name.
Hey, this is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Lawton Wilson from Freedom One Coffee. You said you give back to the veteran community. Talk about that. What do you do?
Yes, Colonel. So we give back to the veteran community in 2 ways. The first way, we have a Coffee for the Troops campaign on our website that you can find on the donation page, where your listeners can go and donate coffee that we'll send directly to troops that are deployed overseas. So we do this quarterly and around the holidays, where we send soldiers who may not get a Christmas present from the States, well, we send them bags of coffee. And to date, we've sent over 864 bags that we're very proud of. And then the other way that we provide support is monetarily, where a portion of all of our profits are donated to amazing organizations that directly impact veterans, organizations like Operation Restored Warrior, the Semper Fi Fund, and Reese Across America. And we're almost past our $8,000 threshold for those as well.
And I appreciate the fact that you know and pick the nonprofits that really do help, because there are some that say they do but don't. Good to hear that you pick the ones that you know will really help veterans with most of their money like they're supposed to.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we definitely look at their values to make sure our values are both aligned before we write them a check. That's right.
That's important. Talk to us about how listeners who want to check out Freedom One Coffee, how can they find you? What should they be looking for? How do we get to you?
That's a great question. Your listeners can find us at freedomonecoffee.com. That's freedom, the number one, coffee.com. Denny, we also have an Instagram, Facebook, and even a YouTube channel that they can all find us on. And again, just as a reminder, use the code FREEDOM for 15% off your first order.
By the way, just at the risk of being able, so I can hold it over my Marine friend who loves your coffee, what is your best-selling product available?
Our best seller right now, and it always has been, our Bag of Flight. It is a 12-ounce bag of Colombian coffee. It has 5-star ratings on all of our platforms that we sell it on. And it's a crowd-pleasing coffee, and it's a good starter. And we also have sample packs, too, in the coffee club where we send listeners, you know, one bag a month or up to four bags a month, depending on how much they like coffee and their freedom.
That's really cool. I just want to make sure that this is clear. There's a lot of things here. I presume all of this stuff is available on your website.
Yeah, everything can be found on our website, freedomonecoffee.com.
Because, again, my coffee-loving friends really like your product, and I want to make sure that our listeners also know how to get what's there, because you've made some of my friends really, really committed friends by letting me share some of their coffee.
Of course, that's what it does. It brings people together, even your neighbors.
Hey, that's right. I mean, they even put up with me. So, freedomonecoffee.com. Thank you, Lawton. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation today and yesterday and tomorrow. And thank you for what you're doing for coffee lovers, because virtually every person on active duty I know likes and drinks coffee. So you're ministering to, reaching out to the military community beyond your military service. Thank you for doing that, bro.
Absolutely. And it is such an honor to serve our country and to serve a good cup of coffee. And I thank you so much for having me on your show. And I just want to thank your listeners for supporting my small business while I'm on active duty, and thank them for their service as well, because I know many of them are veterans or are parents of those currently serving. So thank you.
Indeed. Troops, if you're a veteran who's having trouble getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. Reach them at PTSDlawyers.com. Pop up your puny bird-like chest.
Okay.
You know, that was a standard thing for new cadets. I wonder if they say that now that they have females.
Yeah, who knows? You can't even ask.
Suck up that gross, ponderous gut. Pop up that puny bird-like chest. I probably can't get away with that anymore. Probably have to say something tough like, are you having a nice day?
You know. Yes. And what gender are you?
And we also have a special guest in the studio, junior co-host 13-year-old Cedar Coriel, to help out in the colonel's absence. Give me a sound check.
Yo, what's up?
Okay, you're going to have to talk louder.
Hello, everybody.
Okay, just try and be normal, okay?
This is my normal.
That's why we're a pretty good team. Usually only one of us screws up at a time.
Usually. But we've been known to have moments.
Oh, yes. Well,
senior moments.
Si, senor. As a guy who grew up in Southern California, I got to maintain my Spanish.
That's right. Actually, it doesn't really matter anymore.
That's true. Okay, what the heck? When all else fails, let's record. What do you think?
When all else fails, just yawn.
Oh, that's a good one. I think I think I can handle that one.
I can yawn on demand.
I can yawn without demand.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for Weekly Mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Do some more push-ups, about 60 this time. And once your ranger ready, then stand at ease.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Please do send your thoughts to me at Danny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Skip, what's the first one?
Well, Sam, a Navy vet, was really shaken up by the discussion on how China is attacking us right now. And we're doing nothing? How can this be?
Sam, we Americans tend to think that all people are good. If we just treat them well, they'll be nice to us. Well, the Chinese communist leadership are basically evil people who have no values but winning. And our government is very naive.
And Peter really appreciated the Navy captain's discussion on when and why we should send our military into combat. We seem to have had no common sense in the past.
Peter, unfortunately, you're right. Let's hope that our nation's leaders, the current ones and the future ones, think this through. Okay, now it's time for military history. What's the first one, Skip? Take us there, bro.
Well, on May 12, 1780, during the Revolutionary War, after a siege that began on April 2, 1780, Americans suffered their worst defeat of the Revolution with the unconditional surrender of Major General Benjamin Lincoln to British Lieutenant General Sir Henry Clinton and his army of 10,000 at Charleston, South Carolina. With the victory, the British captured more than 3,000 patriots and a great quantity of munitions and equipment, losing only 250 killed and wounded in the process. Confident of British control in the South, Lieutenant General Clinton sailed north to New York after the victory, having learned of an impending French expedition to the British-occupied northern state. He left General Charles Cornwallis in command of 8,300 British forces in the South. South Carolina was a deeply divided state, and the British presence let loose the full violence of a civil war upon the population. First, the British used loyalists to pacify the Patriot population. The Patriots returned the violence in kind. The guerrilla warfare strategies employed by Patriots Francis Marion, Thomas Sumter, and Nathaniel Greene throughout the Carolina campaign of 1780 and 81 eventually chased the far more numerous British force into Virginia, where they eventually surrendered at Yorktown on October 19, 1781. Having suffered the humiliation of surrendering to the British at Charleston, Major General Lincoln was able to turn the tables and accept Cornwallis's ceremonial surrender to General George Washington at Yorktown on October 20th.
And on the 13th of May, 1846, Congress voted to declare war on Mexico. Under the threat of war, the U.S. had refrained from annexing Texas after the latter won independence from Mexico in 1836. But in 1844, President John Tyler restarted negotiations with the Republic of Texas, culminating with a treaty of annexation. The treaty was defeated in the Senate because it would upset the slave state, free state balance between the North and the South and risk war with Mexico. But shortly before leaving office, and with the support of President-elect Polk, Tyler managed to get this resolution passed. Texas was admitted to the Union on December 29th, and while Mexico didn't declare war, relations between the two nations remained tense, and in July 1845, President Polk ordered troops into the disputed lands that lay between the Nunes and Rio Grande Rivers. In November, Polk sent a diplomat to Mexico to seek boundary adjustments in return for the U.S. government's settlement of claims of U.S. citizens against Mexico and also make an offer to purchase California and New Mexico. When the mission failed, our army advanced to the mouth of the Rio Grande River, the river that the state of Texas claimed to be its southern boundary. Mexico, claiming that the boundary was the Nueces River to the northeast of Rio Grande, considered our army's move an act of aggression, and in April sent troops across the Rio Grande. Polk, in turn, declared the Mexican advance an invasion, and on 11th of May asked Congress to declare war, which they did 2 days later. After nearly 2 years of fighting, peace was established by the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, signed on 2 February 1848. The Rio Grande was made the southern boundary of Texas, and California and New Mexico were added to the U.S., and in return, the U.S. paid Mexico the sum of $15 million and agreed to settle all the claims of U.S. citizens against Mexico.
And on May 11th, 1961, President Kennedy approved sending 400 Special Forces troops and 100 other U.S. military advisors to South Vietnam. On the same day, he ordered the start of clandestine warfare against North Vietnam to be conducted by South Vietnamese agents under the direction and training of the CIA and U.S. Special Forces troops. Kennedy's orders also called for South Vietnamese forces to infiltrate Laos to locate and disrupt communist bases and supply lines there.
Things didn't work out quite like he'd hoped. And on 10 May 1968, during the Vietnam War, our 9th Marine Regiment and the 3rd Brigade of the 101st Airborne Division, along with South Vietnamese forces, commenced Operation Apache Snow in the Achao Valley. The purpose was to cut off the North Vietnamese and prevent them from mounting an attack on the coastal provinces. During the intense fighting, 597 North Vietnamese were killed. We lost 56 killed, 420 wounded. Due to the bitter fighting and the high loss of life, the battle received unfavorable publicity in the U.S., and America dubbed it Hamburger Hill, a name used because the battle turned into a meat grinder. Since the operation was not intended to hold territory, but rather to keep the North Vietnamese army off balance, the mountain was abandoned soon after the battle and was occupied by the North Vietnamese a month later.
And on May 12, 1975, the U.S. freighter Mayaguez and its 39-man crew was captured by gunboats of the Cambodian Navy. Cambodia had fallen to communist insurgents, the Khmer Rouge, in April 1973. The Cambodian authorities imprisoned the American crew pending an investigation of the ship and why it had sailed into waters claimed by Cambodia. The response of the U.S. government was quick. President Gerald Ford called the Cambodian seizure of the Mayaguez an act of piracy and promised swift action to rescue the captured Americans.
And that's military history for today. Now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
A heated few seconds turned deadly in a Chicago suburb when a quarrel between two drivers ended up with a Glendale Heights man being shot and killed. The shooting happened on a busy Bartlett Road. The victim, Scott Madison, leaves behind two daughters. The driver who was shot pulled over and engaged in a heated conversation with the other driver. The argument became heated, and the other driver pulled a pistol and shot the victim several times. The killer has not yet been apprehended.
Thanks, Colonel. Last year, according to the Gun Violence Archive, a Kentucky-based nonprofit, there were 728 road rage incidents involving guns in the United States, resulting in 132 deaths and 390 injuries. That's up slightly from 2020, when there were 701 incidents, resulting in 102 deaths and 306 injuries. As society becomes more and more tense, simple everyday things like driving become more and more dangerous. I've been driving for over 40 years now, and I can recall being involved in 5 road rage incidents. 3 of them I handled very well and was able to break off contact with the aggressor, resulting in no injuries. The remaining 2, I'm not proud of. One occurred when I was 18, and the second when I was 19. I actually stopped my car and engaged in heated conversation with the other driver. No violence came of it, but I still shudder when I recall the raw emotions and quick temper of my youth. Now, more than ever, it's important to avoid confrontations with other drivers. Here are some rules for the road that will help get you home safely to your family every single night. First, treat other drivers with respect. Don't cut them off. Use your turn signal appropriately. Give other cars plenty of room when passing and when being passed. Second, if another driver is rude, for example, by cutting you off in traffic, the worst thing you can do is honk your horn. That simple act of honking your horn many times escalates the situation. Don't flip them off. Don't wave your fist. And don't even give them a dirty look. I know that's hard to do, but it's necessary that you maintain self-control and that you give the other driver the benefit of the doubt. Third, don't make it personal. Just assume they cut you off accidentally and leave it at that. After all, how can it be personal? You don't even know them and they don't know you. Remember that guns and ego don't mix well, and neither do ego and cars. Lock your ego in your gun safe and leave it at home. And finally, even if after your best efforts, someone insists on harassing you by following you or by driving dangerously beside you, give them as much space as possible. Try slowing down and letting them get away. Call 911 and explain what's happening. Have one of your passengers take a video or snapshot of the road rager and make sure you get the license plate. Above all else, don't stop your car and allow someone to walk up to your vehicle. Even if you have a firearm, you will be hard-pressed to use it effectively while buckled up inside a car. Do your best to avoid angry drivers and to escape from them. Our victim from this week broke many of those rules, and now his 2 daughters will suffer for it as they live the rest of their lives without their father. Your number one rule should be, I come home to my family at night. Always keep a cool head and avoid those who do not.
Well said, Skip. Our movie of the month is Our Kind of Love. You can go to the Front Lines of Freedom website to get the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month, and I'd appreciate getting your comments about it. Send them to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, Congressman Chip Wray from Texas will discuss the southern border and some other key issues. Then retired Army General Chris Petty will discuss the need for all citizens to understand military history. And we'll discuss the Armed Forces Thanksgiving event held every May in my hometown of Grand Rapids, Michigan, as a role model for other people who want to do it. Our book, Front Lines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. You can purchase this book on frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Front Lines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Front Lines of Freedom on our 750th show. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the Front Lines of Freedom. Dismissed. I'm hot. When you're hot, I should go buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah, you do that.